Broadcasting 2.0 for March 17, 2023, episode 126. We're Podcasting Power Rangers! Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to your weekly board meeting for Podcasting 2.0. We are the firewall to Big Bang Contagion, protecting you from everything bad. And, of course, protecting and extending podcasting. It all happens here. What's going on with the namespace? What's happening at podcastindex.org? Or even where it all happens, podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country. And in Alabama, the only man who can resolve your GUID. Say hello to my friend on the other end. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
This will be an interesting show. I've taken the challenge of trying to keep all the background noise from... I have a full house of people here.
Oh, you know, I can even tell you're talking a little softer than usual, which is kind of... Yeah, and yeah, crank it up, bro. Talk like you mean it.
No, it's not that. I'm not even tempering. What you're hearing is the fact that I'm sick again.
Oh, no. Again? Are you kidding me?
last week...
Oh, sorry.
I think it was last week on the show... I mentioned that I was working from home so I could take care of my daughter,
right?
Who was sick,
right?
Well, of course she gave. But now I got what she got, you know.
And is it round three? Is it like a dry throat or what is it?
Yeah,
this is the thing that everybody got at Podcast Movement Contagion. I think is what it was called, wasn't it?
Oh, right.
Podcast Movement Congestion. I can't remember. What was the name of the
PMG PMC?
Podcast Contagion? What was Podcast Movement? What was it?
I don't know.
In Vegas. Apparently everybody got sick.
Oh, really? Oh, so they passed around. This is like what comes after Omicron?
Oh, no, they gave up on that a long time ago,
brother. Decepticon. This is like...
No, they kept Kraken. They had Kraken all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
All this weird stuff.
Baby Kraken is what this is.
Kraken, oh, man.
This feels like baby Kraken. It's like... It's not like... It doesn't like destroy you and like bring you to your knees.
Yeah.
But it brings you down to like where your hands on hips and like, like I'm really tired of this and really tired overall.
Now you're normally just a sickly guy. So let me,
thanks a lot.
Let me ask you a question.
Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim of podcasting.
Yes.
Before COVID, would you get this type of stuff regularly on a regular basis, like a flu or something a couple times a year?
I have a standing date every year with a sinus infection.
Okay.
It's always in January or February that this happens, sometimes late December.
Okay.
I've got, what's it called? Deviated septum.
Oh, from all the coke you did as a kid. Holy crap.
It rotted it out. Yes. Yes. All the partying has left me deaf and with no nose blockage or whatever.
But hey, the index is running really fast. Yeah. Oh, okay. Now you can have that corrected, can't you? Deviated septum?
I think you can. I think so. I talked to the ENT doc about it a few years ago and he's like, you're just going to have this. He's like, this is your life until.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So,
of course, I spend a lot of time in South Jersey, so we just laugh about this stuff. There's no other way to handle it. laugh about it. I don't know what to say.
Stephen B. said, do you know seasonal colds cause stroke and heart attacks?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're all going to die, everybody.
I'm scared to death now. It's coming for me.
Right off the bat, Dreb Scott.
Baller! Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Pre-boosting us 121,212 sats. 1-2-1-2-1-2. Dreb. And what I'm afraid of is that Dreb at this point is living in a trailer. His kids got no shoes.
Yeah. He's giving us his mortgage payments.
Nothing against trailers, by the way. I don't mean it that way, but I just really have a feeling like, man, is he boosting... He just tests 12,000 sats. 1-2-1-2-1. Just a test. Dreb. Dreb tests are like, pom, just throw a tenner your way. Unbelievable.
Well, I mean, I was going to say boost the dip last week, but there is no dip.
The dip is not happening, baby. The dip is not happening. We are, of course, lit. Which means we're live. And if you have one of those handy dandy apps that does it all, which is Podverse and Podcast Addict at this point, although you can
certainly listen in on CurioCaster. Then you were alerted and you got dumped right. And when you clicked on it, you got dumped right into a special little episode there, which is live. You hear the stream, you can log into the chat, and of course you can boost us. And
you may not even know where you are. You may have just tapped the button and have no idea what's happening.
No idea what's going on. Exactly. And I actually, I there's something pretty big, like a huge, let me put it this way. Everyone's
huge.
Everybody's all, yeah, well, hold on a second. We got something really big. We got, it's so big.
Skybird, this is Dropkick with a red dash and alpha message in 2 parts.
All right. Can I make it any more clear? This is big. This is really big.
Jesus almighty.
Everyone's always talking about, how do we promote podcasting 2.0? We got to promote the value for value. Yeah, we got to get out. We got to do more. We need a better website. Okay. Couple things happened this week. Some big, big news. And two things happened concurrently. Now, I was listening to NMS and PWR.
These are my new media show and podcast weekly review.
Yeah, Pod News Weekly Review. It's Pod News Weekly Review, isn't it?
You said podcast. Yes, I said podcast, yes.
So first,
I've got Sudafed brain.
That's okay. Yeah, that's what they're calling it these days, huh? Sudafed. Okay.
Yeah, I was listening to the y'all were playing some clips of like people describing. I think this was on NA. You were playing some clips of people describing the feeling of being on like. Lexapro.
The Adderall and Vyvanse.
Adderall. Yeah, and it's like that's what I feel. I feel like the whatever that is.
Speed. Yeah, oh, yeah. No, it's not for me, I'll tell you that.
I mean, Sudafed's basically meth, right?
I mean, but Sudafed is meth that slows you down. Does it make you speedy? I guess it does make you speedy.
It makes my brain, it makes me have Sudafed brain. Yeah. Okay. I interrupted, though, please.
No, it's okay. I mean, this is a human interest segment. I like that.
It is.
So first, I'm listening to the new media show. And right out of the blue, after Podcast Movement Contagion, we've got Rob Greenlee quitting Podbean after 3 months.
Yes, that was a quickie.
And no one's explained to me, I don't need to know, but no one's explained to me what happened, which is just, I'm always like, that's kind of weird. The way it's being played, I'm fine with is Rob wants to be independent. Perfect.
I think it was basically just an achievement that he needed. Like he needed to get like the badge for his how many companies he's been at all the podcast hosting companies.
Right.
And he just needed that one left to fill out his trophy room.
Yes, I think the running joke is Buzzsprout is giving him a 1 day contract, so he has the full gamut. So he has every single podcast company, a podcast host he's worked for.
That's right.
So he starts his consultancy, podeasy.com. It's podcasteasy.com. Sorry. So podcast easy, podcast Echo Zulu, podcastes in Spain. And podcastes.com. So, it's interesting. He has a Sennheiser 421 on the homepage, which kind of tickled me. Says now is the time to start your podcast. And so best in class podcast consulting and services, no matter your level, we've got you covered. And he's got, I don't know if it's just him or more people, but as a team and all kinds of stuff. And it seems like, and I kind of like his signature services. We've got Rock the Mic, audio only podcast server subscription, Drop the Mic, audio and video podcast server subscription, and Just Speak, which is the concierge podcast subscription service. Now, what I'm missing here is what I think is a huge opportunity, and I'm going to prove it. And okay. So this is for Rob and for any other people who want to be independent podcast consultants who can work with any podcast hosting company, of course.
I like those different levels, by the way. The Drop the Mic level.
I like that. It's cool. It's a very good name. So he's a marketing guy right off the bat. We know this. Of course, we know Rob a long time. I would recommend a fourth category, which would just be your V4V. And I would recommend that you have a level where you set people up value for value, help them with their wallet, get everything all set up, help them with their pitch, help them with the feedback loop, help them understand boostograms, and charge nothing to maybe a minor fee up front, just for, whatever. Take 35% of the split of the value block in perpetuity. You can, or you know what, whatever you, you know, oh, we'll do a 5-year contract, whatever you want it to be, whatever you want it to be. And I don't think Rob is all that. I mean, he understands, of course, value for value. I don't think he's really looked into it that deeply. He doesn't have a wallet, for instance. So I heard Todd was going to get him set up. This is an annuity that you will not regret. I'm telling you, you will not regret doing this, no matter what else you do. And some of these levels are pretty pricey. But you could, and you could do a hybrid model. Do this. This will. This is long-term wealth building for Rob Greenlee. And I have your first client, and it's a doozy, and it's going to blow you away. What an opportunity this is.
The Obamas.
No, no. So I'm listening to PWR, Power FM. I'm listening to Pod News Weekly Review. And Sam Sethi is not on the show. He's off skiing in Kitzbühel. Probably with Roy from Breeze. I don't know, you know, these guys. You know, I'm just in Kitzbühel in Switzerland. I'm going to have a little
They're doing a deal
of some sorts. So James has a guest host, Courtney Kokak. I think is her name. Now, Courtney Kokak, who I'd not heard of before, she's no slouch. She's, let me see, I got her website here. She's based in Los Angeles. She's a comedian. She's written for, I think, Washington Post, Variety, Los Angeles Times, Cosmo. She's got something going on.
Yeah, she made a hooker joke, which instantly I was a fan of her. So this is great. Yeah,
exactly. So you heard the show. Fantastic.
I'm a little bit into it.
Well, so I'll just, you know, she was talking about social, because at a certain point James very correctly starts to interview her about herself, and she makes this joke, and I'm listening in bed with, you know, with one ear, because, you know, Tino's already asleep. She's sawing logs. I'm like, I'm just kind of listening, see if I'm going to fall asleep or not. It's something that I don't typically do, but the show came out later than normal for me, so I still wanted to hear, to know what's going on in podcasting, the Week in Review, which is what the show does.
Yeah, this surprised me that you were listening in bed. I didn't think that was your style.
It's not my style at all. So all
did
of this,
you have wine?
No, nothing. Okay. No, this is the Lord's work, man, because otherwise I would not have known this. I'm telling you, and this is going to benefit Courtney. It's going to benefit Rob Greenlee. Is going to benefit podcasting 2.0. So this is, I'm just listening. Then they're talking about her social justice work or something. And I wasn't quite sure, but this is 22 seconds, just short. And this got my attention. Like, oh, this is an interesting person.
I do like social justice and equality, but I have to say, you know why I think they added that line is because I on Twitter offered to DM people topless photos of me if they would donate to Black Lives Matter. So okay. I really don't think that is the kind of social justice figure that they're thinking.
Wowzers.
I love James. Wowzers. Because, of course, we all visualize this immediately. So I'm like, you have my attention, Courtney. What else you got? So James has,
mission accomplished.
Yeah, it's a good show. So James, now, they were talking about ChatGPT and how incorrect it is. So James is now going to talk about her podcast, which is titled Private Parts Unknown. And if for whatever reason, it's a British thing. I don't know. It's an Australian thing. You can't really describe it because it's naughty.
What's up with that?
Yeah, this is your smutty podcast.
Yes. Smutty podcast.
Yes. So it's a podcast that I seem to remember I had to write about in Pod News, but obviously I'd like everybody that works in boring corporate environments to get the newsletter. And so therefore I couldn't actually write anything about what the podcast was about. Which was very strange, but there we are. This is all right. What's that podcast about?
Private Parts Unknown. Love and sexuality around the world.
Hello. You have my attention all the way now. I'm like, okay, this is interesting.
And Ice Cube Soup says two words, chapter art.
She's actually part of a network. And I just, picked the first 25 seconds. It's not even her show. It's the first 25 seconds of her podcast where she's promoting another podcast on the network. But you get the whole idea in 25 seconds.
Hello, privates. Before we get into today's episode, I want to turn you on to a very horny podcast from the Pleasure Podcast Network. It is The Horny Housewife, baby. And Jordan is the host. She's talking about all things sex and marriage, which, you know, I'm in a long-term relationship. I know what's up. So check out The Horny Housewife.
Boom, boom, shakalaka. Now comes the kicker. The beauty part of what's going on this podcast. Out of the blue, she says this.
Excellent. Well,
so wait, can you explain something to me, James? Because I have been obviously, we're in the tech segment right now, and I've been listening to your show a lot today in preparation for this. And I am like really excited about V to V,
yeah,
from you. So can you tell me about it? And I'm not a techie. Like, am I going to know how to set this up? And is it worth it if I don't have a bunch of people trying to give me sats all the time? Will they want to give me sats or not? I don't know.
Will they want to give you sats or not?
Well, I think it's time to firstly go into Boostergram corner, and then we can.
So James falls down on the job.
And he
goes to Boostergram corner, and then he does this whole thing like, and like, no, this podcaster, Miss Kokak, is primed and ready to do full on value for value, lit, go live. This would blow V for V podcasting 2.0 out of the water. Rob Greenlee, your mission is clear, should you choose to accept it. Get in contact with her, man. Set her up. Have Todd fix the, you know, get the live streaming set up. This is the moment. Win.
If you think Boostergram sounds and the Boostergram segment is good on a regular show,
are you kidding me?
Boostergram on Horny Housewives. I mean, give me a break.
Well, that's another. Well, Private Parts Unknown is her podcast.
Okay, I mean either one.
But the whole network could benefit. This is my fans live streaming lit. My fans lit. Mm-hmm. Only fans lit. Whatever, doesn't matter. This is look. I'm too old for this. I don't go running after talent anymore. I just don't. I did it all my life, running after talent for interviews, running after for networks, all this stuff. I'm not going to do it, but I would like to point out this is a massive opportunity.
dear Horny Housewives, I don't normally send boostergrams, .. Long-time listener, first-time booster. Yeah, this is just...
Now, and you know, as the interview progressed, she even... intuitively understood the numerology. She's like, oh, that's cool. You know, a row of ducks, 2222. I mean, wait until she finds out, you know, the 8008s and the 6969s. I mean, it's ready. Somebody, please, I want it to be Rob Greenlee because this would give him, this will give you job security, my friend. Set this podcaster up.
This is a fantastic idea.
Thank you.
This is you giving away free
money. Free money.
Yes, free money.
Yes. I mean, the old Adam, before I was saved by Jesus Christ, would have immediately gone after this.
Yeah.
Like, this is great. And, you know, the index would have done it. And, you know, I want to spread this love. I want... other people to win with this one. It's prime. Even Roy would probably want to do this. He's been talking about that for a long time. He's been wanting to do OnlyFans on Breeze forever.
This is a fantastic idea. I'm in full support of this.
Yeah, I mean, this is what, look, actually the podcast, I did listen. It's you know, it's more about relationships.
Sure,
it's not really smutty. She even talks about abortions and, you know, all kinds of stuff that I don't know if I'm even interested in, but you can tell that the vibe is there. It's the vibe that you want. She clearly has an audience. So mm-hmm. let's go. Especially now that I heard in the same new media show that it appears there's a 30% fill rate on ads, which is sad.
That's not just on podcasts, too. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's YouTube, the ad load has gotten really weird, too.
Oh, yes.
I think it's across the board.
Interesting. Well, that was another thing that this whole week, and you and I are kind of the same. It was filled with YouTube video, YouTube. It's all YouTube, YouTube video, YouTube.
Yeah.
If I can just say, you know, I have been through this cycle. I went through the cycle of trying to make a network work. It doesn't work. You can't monetize the network. And then, and we had VC money. We had millions of dollars to do this with. Oh, YouTube is what it's at, is where it's at. Oh, yeah, YouTube. Let's do video. And we could have not made a worse choice. It's not where podcasting belongs. I think you had a boost into new media show about it. You said something interesting. I can't remember exactly what it was. It was about, do you remember?
No, I was talking about the conflation of podcasting and YouTube. Like everybody always says that YouTube is the biggest podcast platform, you know, and it's just, that always irritates me because it's like no other media gets conflated like that. Mm-hmm. Because you would not say that because, who is that? Who is the guy that used to, the radio guy that used to wear the cowboy hat?
Don Imus.
Don Imus, yeah. Nobody would say that because Imus in the Morning was simulcast video on Dish Network, that Dish Network is the biggest radio market. It's like, yeah. It just doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
Just because somebody is on there doesn't mean that
how about this?
I consider it a dumb statement.
How about
honestly.
This? Enough with your surveys and your data. I don't care. I just, it goes right over my head. You can slice and dice this stuff any way you want. Podcasting has been around for a long time. It'll be around with us for a long time. All the benefits are known. The decentralized nature of it is incredibly beneficial. YouTube is just, in fact, it's almost like, let's talk about a bank failure because that actually causes a bank failure. You know what I mean? Or run on the banks. It's like, oh no, everything's bad. Oh, that's how runs on bank. Jason Calacanis looking at you, all caps.
Well, that's, you know, so I don't know if you saw that KPMG, you know, because I'm in the accounting world. KPMG came, as I see these things, KPMG came out and said, you know, we stand behind our assessment of our audit of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. They audited both of them and they signed off on the audits within 2 or 3 weeks of them both failing. And so the CEO came out and was like, no, we stand behind our numbers. Well, the discussion was about whether or not there's this certain thing that you can tag them with in a financial audit. You can say, and there's two things. There's one of them is a going concern mark.
Right.
Which is like, hey, this thing's really shaky. And another one is like disputed something. Anyway, it's audit terminology. Mm-hmm. And so the big hit against KPMG was, well, you know, why didn't they label them as a, you know, with a going concern warning? It's like, well, you can't. This is sort of like, you know, this is like the thing that you're observing. Was it the Heisenberg uncertainty principle?
I think
if I'm not mistaken, that's like you affect the thing you're observing simply by observing it. Like the outcome under observation is different than the outcome when it's unobserved. So the observer has an influence on the thing that you're watching. So you actually can't observe it and get a real outcome. And so that's the same thing with this. If you put a going concern warning on Silicon Valley Bank's audit, you're going to cause a bank run. So, like,
exactly.
if you're worried they won't survive a bank run, you can't actually say it out loud because then they won't survive a bank run.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, so this is what's going on. And I think it's because people are bored of nothing better to talk about. And also, how long are you going to be Charlie Brown for Lucy's football? I mean, stop. This is the definition of insanity. Every single time Silicon Valley says jump, or the podcast industrial complex says jump, everyone goes, how high? What do you want me to do? I'll integrate with you right away. And then they burn everybody. They don't care.
No.
They do not care.
They don't care. But the subtle shift in YouTube advertising, though, in YouTube ad load, it's noticeable. Like you're starting to get, you'll get the first ad break, and it'll be loaded up with a couple of the short runs. And then what would typically be a video with like five or six ad breaks in it, the second slot, you'll get like one, and then maybe one on the third slot. And then it's just out. It's nothing from then on out.
Right.
And that's new. That's very new. 'Cause if you go back 4 months ago, you're getting ad slots full every time. So something has definitely changed. I've been listening to, do you know Jeffrey Snyder? Do you know that guy?
Should I? I'm not sure. Should I know Jeffrey Snyder?
He runs a outfit called Eurodollar University.
No.
He came up through the, if I'm not mistaken, he came up through the Mises Institute, and he's an Austrian. Mm-hmm. But he's one of those that his methodology is to monitor the Eurodollar market.
Okay.
He's got a lot like he, which I think is a genius way to look at things, because the euro dollar market has probably the biggest influence on the economy, way bigger than Fed rates and anything like that. But it's the thing that never gets talked about. And so he's been saying that the economy is softening and likening this. He's likening what's going on right now to the 2007, 2008. He's like, sure. we're going to have a 2007, 2008 style crisis. It's not going to be exactly the same, but we're going to have the same mechanics are at work.
Especially with the Credit Suisse and the derivatives and the swap line our Federal Reserve has with the Swiss Central Bank specifically for Credit Suisse. Now, this is all integrated and connected.
Now, you brought Horny Housewives. I brought Janet Yellen.
Oh, it's an antidote.
It is. Yes.
Wait, before you go there,
okay.
Can I just say something about the ad market?
Oh, please do.
So two things. One, as already discussed on this show and others, this came out from the specialist website, searchengineland.com. This came out March 9th. TikTok enters the search ad market, challenging Google and Microsoft, which is exactly what my sister told us in her thesis.
Yikes.
For her master's. She said that one in two users of Google and TikTok go to TikTok first to search for something. So this is a big yikes. Big yikes. Second, I got, just as one of the many emails I've received, of course, I'm going to, I manage global brand ads on social media for a large tech manufacturer that is very active on TikTok. I'm also responsible for governance and best practice, etc. So it's a lot of it's about, what may or may not happen, which is not interesting in this context. But he says, we've shifted nearly half of our brand social ad budget to TikTok over the last year.
Woo.
And e-commerce and other ads are also shifting a lot of budget that way. So
Wow. This
is what's going on with the ad market, which is already soft, significantly soft. It's being taken away by one company. And if you think for a second that Google gives a crap about podcasting on YouTube, dude, they're even cutting people's benefits who were supposed to have maternity benefits. I mean, this is all hands on deck, DEFCON 1.
Well, you saw 10,000 more layoffs at Facebook, right?
Yeah, of course. And by the way,
3 days ago,
we don't hear anything about Meta now, do we?
Right.
No. And here's the biggest joke. This AI ChatGPT that everybody is throwing into their product is very expensive. They have no way to offset this cost to do it for free.
Is it still like GPT 4 or 3? Is it still like something like $1 million a day to run it? Because that's the number I saw floating around at one point.
I think it's higher than that. I mean, you're talking $10,000 NVIDIA ASICs that have to do this stuff. I mean, this is not just, you know, throw up a couple of... In fact, they run a lot of it is AWS EC2 instances that they're spinning up or whatever it is these days.
Those things are not cheap at size.
And you know, so they're spinning up all this stuff. And you can see it slowing down, too. No. This is very expensive. They solved the YouTube cost by literally buying ASICs. I've learned all this from Alex Gates, actually. By buying ASICs that do video encoding specifically. So, you know, now you've got to swap everything out or add to it to do ChatGPT just because it's everyone else is doing it. Meanwhile, TikTok is eating everybody's lunch. Get off of it, people. Stick with podcasting. Support your app developers. Support podcastapps.com. Keep it going. We've got momentum. We've got the hip kids doing it. And pretty soon, Smodcast. So it's well worth steady as she goes, I would say. Steady as she goes. Don't be jumping left and right because YouTube says something. They're in trouble over there. Let them mess with their own rope is my advice.
Yeah, now, I think this is perfect advice because you get, this is the sort of safety valve of a down advertising market. If you know, subscriptions.
Ooh, I like that. Safety valve of the down advertising market. Nice.
Yeah, this bridges you through. Because I mean, neither me or you would ever say that advertising is bad and should go away. It's just that you can't
squeeze blood from a stone.
Yeah, ideologically, it has downsides for certain material. I mean, like ours, for instance, you can't. We wouldn't be able to say what we wanted to say without being free from the influence of advertising. But then there's also that the other aspect of it where it goes up and down. It's cyclical. You're going to have up. You're going to have huge drop offs.
Well,
so in order to be able to weather that storm, you really need. Some people have done it with subscriptions. Value for value is better.
Well, here's the one thing I can promise everybody: if you want to stick it out, it'll be about a year and a half, maybe a little bit less, because 2024 in the U.S. only. By the way, this doesn't work for anywhere else in the world. It will be an election year. So
yeah.
$17 billion will flow in, you know, maybe a little less, maybe a little more, into mainly local advertising, very specifically geolocated, geotargeted. That's where I think Facebook or Meta shines. But that's a long haul before that money really starts to come out. And who knows how much money will we even have money? I mean,
a lot of that's going into podcasting.
I don't think so either. Although, you know, maybe host read ads or whatever.
Yeah.
But also the cheap money, as we've discussed, is over. That's what the big problem is here, is the interest rates were raised quickly. Free money is over. Anyway, a big lead in to the antidote for the honey cast, the smutty cast. What is it called? What is it called? I want to get it right. It's the
private part. The private parts.
No,
private something.
No, not private parts. It's private parts unknown.
Private parts unknown.
Link in the show notes. Okay, so we just got all jacked up by private parts unknown. Here's Janet Yellen.
Yeah, let me drag you down to the basement, which absolutely no excitement. Yeah, so this is Janet Yellen at the testifying before Congress, and I just thought that this was a great clip because it shows it's not so so the it's not what you would exactly call smoke and mirrors, the U.S. money, the U.S. financial system leadership, because what they do actually does have an effect. You know, when they raise rate, when they tinker with rates up and down.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. It does have an effect, but the effect is not what they think it is. And it takes a circuitous route to actually get back to in order to have an effect on the economy. And by the time it actually gets to the level of having an effect, the effect is amplified, and it usually comes out in ways they don't expect.
Because if I can paraphrase, the idea of raising interest rates is basically to create higher unemployment. That's the metric that I keep hearing. Labor market's too strong. Labor, yeah. Well, that's what they're looking for. Well, we got too many jobs being created. Now we need to have unemployment needs to be 4-5%. So they literally want to destroy your job, which in an odd way is kind of happening. If you look at Silicon Valley, it's not enough, but yeah,
they would call it. They're trying to affect a cooling of the the market.
Yes, cool. Screw you, slave.
Which means you don't get to work.
That's right. It's cooling. We just want to cool. The economy's too hot right now. Who wants to be too hot? Okay.
So what we learned from, you know, what I've learned from another thing I've learned from the book, which led me to Jeffrey Snyder, back to him and researching his material, is about the euro dollar market.
And yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
So the euro dollar is the euro dollar represents, in loose terms, all the dollars around, all the U.S. dollars around the world that are not counted in the money supply, in the M1 money supply within the U.S. So if we're trying to measure the money supply, target certain things about the money supply in order to affect interest, this euro dollar market represents effectively a giant leak in the bottom of the ship. Money is flowing in and out through this hole in the Fed's control to international markets in ways that they really cannot control. So it's basically, you know,
if I'm not mistaken, can euro banks, they can actually create dollars, right?
Yeah, well, American banks operating in international markets can also participate in dollar creation.
It's literally counterfeiting. They're just making money.
Yeah, and the biggest euro dollar trading markets are in New York. So you can trade the euro dollar market in the U.S., and the Fed has no control of it over it, and it does not show up in any of the money supply statistics. So the fact that when you look at it that way, the tweaking up and down, the slight tweaks up and down of like half a percent on the federal funds rate, that really has no direct impact on hardly anything except local banks, some mortgages, some short-term stuff.
Well, mortgages had a big effect on mortgages and car loans and stuff like that.
Well, then over time, so it tends to affect the middle, sort of like the middle class of the banking system, which is mostly local. They don't have the international presence like JP Morgan and these other
regional banks, which I guess they would like to get rid of because they're doing a good job.
Well, let's listen to the queen of excitement, Janet Yellen.
Will the deposits and every
her voice has gotten really low.
It is. Yeah, she's on hormones.
This is a senator or a congressman. Who is this?
This is I don't know if it's senator or congressman, but he's representing Oklahoma.
Will the deposits in every community bank in Oklahoma, regardless of their size, be fully insured now? Are they fully recovered? Every bank, every community bank in Oklahoma, regardless of the size of the deposit, will they get the same treatment that SVB just got or Signature Bank just got?
Oh, this is an interesting question because and I'm glad you're in here because you're studying it a little deeper than I am these days. So from what I understand, they magically, I think they created like $297 billion or something. And this is the backstop above and beyond the $250,000 per depositor FDIC insurance.
Yeah, this is the...
partner Dvorak called not a bailout. Okay. Technically, it's not a bailout, but we created money to do it, so...
Yeah, this is supposedly the other banks bailing out this bank, essentially, is what it is. But they do that by what this guy calls a quote special assessment.
Ooh.
So yeah, so the FDIC makes a special assessment on all of the banks in the banking system, in order to bail out SVB. And so he makes a good point about that, actually.
Okay.
A bank only gets that treatment if a majority of the FDIC board, a supermajority of the Fed board, and I, in consultation with the president, determine that the failure to protect uninsured depositors would create systemic risk and significant...
Wow. Wow.
So it's a supermajority of the Fed board, supermajority of the FDIC board,
her in consultation with the brain dead guy in the White House. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So she plays Obama. A critical role. Clearly, yes. She plays a critical role in this decision making process. So obviously she would understand fully all the answers to the questions.
Well, seeing as she's the queen pin instead of the king pin, it all pivots. Any one of those elements could say no, and I guess it doesn't happen. So it has to be, to say, yes, I'm going to do that with the president. Okay.
Yeah. Any bad effects, any possible bad effects, you would think. Janice, she's going to have thought this through, right?
I have to add to this that my friend, the former New York banker who I've gone to for financial information about the markets for 12 years, probably, he is very enamored by Janet Yellen. He thinks she's he thinks she's a great economist. And really, really a great person, both when she ran the Fed and as Secretary of the Treasury.
My favorite thing about Janet Yellen is how, as the banking system is melting down, she's overseas somewhere giving a speech about climate change.
Yeah.
I would actually like her to be at home actually taking care of some business here.
She was in Africa first, and then she went to Ukraine, hung out with Zelensky. Okay.
Your job.
Would create systemic risk and significant economic and financial consequences.
So what is your plan?
Made that determination.
Right. So what is your plan to keep large depositors from moving their funds out of community banks into the big banks? We have seen the mergers of banks over the past decade. I'm concerned you're about to accelerate that by encouraging anyone who has a large deposit in a community bank to say, we're not going to make you whole, but if you go to one of our preferred banks, we will make you whole at that point.
Well, this is happening, of course. This seems very logical. In fact, we even had that conversation here at home. We have most of our dollar money in Guadalupe Bank, which is a small bank, a community bank, which does have backing from the TIB, the Bankers Bank, I think. It's private. It's not public. And also, No Agenda Show has Mechanics Bank, which is 115 years old, got an email from the CEO who says, wait, we don't invest in mortgage-backed securities or Silicon Valley or any of that bull crap. Okay. It's a conversation we had. Is our money safe there? So
yeah. If you've got more than 250,000, if you're a quote large depositor at a smaller regional bank, then this is a question you must ask yourself. This is a business question.
Family survival question. Yes.
Estate question. This is a critical question that you must ask when you see that large banks are getting bailed out and made whole, but you may not. You must ask yourself this question. This is not theoretical. Yes.
Although I'm sure that the safest bank for anyone is going to be HSBC, because they are the most corrupt mofos in the world. So, you know, that's where you want to put your money, but I can't live with myself. Okay.
So onward. this clip is his question and her response. This is unedited.
Look, I mean, that's certainly not something that we're encouraging.
That is happening right now.
That is happening because depositors are concerned about the bank failures that have happened and whether or not other banks could also fail.
It's happening because you're fully insured no matter what the amount is. If you're in a big bank, you're not fully insured if you're in a community bank.
Well, you're not fully insured.
Well, what is she just repeating what he's saying, or
she has no idea what to say. That's why she just keeps repeating what he said. I mean, there's like a 4 second pause when he asked her that question. It's clear she has not even thought of this.
I'm going to go back a couple seconds here.
You're not fully insured if you're in a community bank.
Well, you're not fully insured. And
you were at Signature, it just barely met that threshold. You were at Signature.
Well, we felt that there was a serious risk.
Make it up.
Of
make
contagion
it up, Jen.
That could have brought down and triggered runs on many banks, and that something, given that our judgment is that the banking system overall is safe and sound.
It's almost like explain value for value to me.
Depositors should have confidence in the system, and we took these actions.
So there's a special assessment that's been done on community banks in my state and all banks across the country. Was there any discussion that special assessment would only apply to the larger banks, or was it always assumed the special assessment would cover every bank, including rural banks in my state?
I'm not certain what the rules are around that.
What? She determines the future of banks and people's money, but she's not certain of the rules around how that assessment is done?
Yes. I love this clip because it totally exposes the complete fraud that is our financial system leadership, as if there's this idea that, oh, they must know something we don't.
What is this guy? I need to know who this guy is. Who is this guy?
Some representative from Oklahoma, a representative or senator?
Let's see. I'm going to tell you. I know this voice. I'm going to say
it's not that guy.
Is it Tom Cole? Maybe? No. Is it Oklahoma?
Lankford. James Lankford.
Is he a senator?
He is a senator.
Yes. Oh, there he is. Okay, James Lankford. All right, onward.
Would cover every bank, including rural banks in my state.
I'm not certain what the rules are around that.
Wow.
That's for the FDIC to determine.
It has been reported publicly that SVB had a large number of Chinese investors that are there, including some that were companies directly connected to the Chinese Communist Party. Will those individuals, companies, entities, and investors that are Chinese investors be made whole based on assessments in my banks in Oklahoma? So what I'm asking is, will my banks in Oklahoma pay a special assessment to be able to make Chinese investors whole from Silicon Valley Bank?
Okay, let me understand. So in order to qualify for a complete bailout of your depositors, you have to pay an extra fee? This is because now I'm a little confused with the special assessment.
The special assessment was assessed by the FDIC on all member FDIC banks in order to stabilize any iffy banks through this special program, the BFTP or whatever they call it. Uh-huh. And so the special assessment is basically just a fee. So he's saying that, you know, Oklahoma, my banks, my small banks in Oklahoma are going to be paying more money to the Fed, yeah, to the FDIC.
To bail out Silicon Valley Bank Chinese investors who deposited money.
To basically bail out non-American investors, yes.
And well, no, I mean, he also specifically brings out China for political reasons, which is cool. Yeah, obviously, because we got to keep it political in America.
In Oklahoma. So what I'm asking is, will my banks in Oklahoma pay a special assessment to be able to make Chinese investors whole from Silicon Valley Bank?
Uninsured investors will be made whole in that bank, and I suppose that could include foreign depositors, but I don't believe there's any legal basis to discriminate among uninsured.
I get it, but I'm just saying my community banks are going to pay this additional fee. It is always fascinating to me as well, the conversation that taxpayers are being made whole in this, that taxpayers are not going to have any kind of consequence on this. I'm sure my bankers are going to be very excited to know they no longer pay taxes, and their banks no longer pay taxes. Credit unions don't pay taxes. Banks do. And so they're definitely taxpayers as well, and all banks make their revenue off of rates and fees and such to their account holders, which means every Oklahoman will pay higher fees in their community bank.
We're just going to
Can we move on here? I mean, this is, you're badgering the witness. Who is that?
I don't know. That's the whoever the ranking member is. We're trying to move him on. But there's your bailout.
Right there. Of course,
the banks are taxpayers. And just the flow he said, all of the Oklahoma residents will be paying higher taxes or higher fees at the bank. They will be getting less banking services for more money in order to bail out the banks that were unable to continue. There's your bailout.
It's unbelievable.
It's not a direct bailout like TARP, but it is absolutely a bailout at taxpayer expense.
Unbelievable.
And she has no idea how to answer the question. Doesn't even know half, you know, it's just insane.
Let's catch the last 19 seconds here.
Of rates and fees and such to their account holders, which means every Oklahoman will pay higher fees in their community bank.
We're just going to have to move on.
If we have lapse of the banking system and its economic consequences, that will have very severe effects on banks in Oklahoma that will also be threatened.
I'm just worried about the long-term
We are going to have to move on or well. We're not going to get all senators in. Senator Cortez Masto.
Who is that? Who is the one that interrupted?
I don't know.
That's the Senate Finance Committee. Hold on. Senate Finance Committee. I want to know because it sounds familiar. Let me see.
Committee chair.
By the way, the Ron Wyden. Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah, as well. Yeah,
of course. The House of Representatives, you know, that financial oversight board is overseen by the very, very competent Maxine Waters.
Oh, yes. No dicey background there with the FTX and everything else. Yeah. I know we're way off the rails of podcasting here, but I don't think so. I think this all goes into rational decision making about the future, about the next. Let's just say 2 to 3 years of ad markets, general economic planning. I think we just need to be a little realistic about where we're at. And that is that the people in charge have no idea what they're doing.
We have no one steering the ship. But, you know, and honestly, I don't think anyone really knows. It's all bull. I don't think that anyone really knows how it all really works. I mean, yeah, I'd err more on the side of Austrian economics. But this is exactly what it's supposed to be. Every single time we go through this cycle, it's, you know, 7 to 12 years or whatever. And there we go again, except this time they kind of caught with their pants down because we had this long period of really kicking the can down the road with the low interest rates and covering everything up. And now it's just coming back and there's going to be winners and losers.
I was listening to some old, lectures from, Paul Volcker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's
He would the
Fed chairman the 70s. Yeah,
yeah. 80s, when 70s. We had 20% interest rates.
Yep. And so I was listening to some old lectures of his, not super old, like from early 2000s. And you know, I mean, I'm not going to say he's a genius. You know, he's like this, you know, second coming or anything, but I mean, but he's honest and he's sort of out of things now. So he can be a little bit more honest. He mentioned that. So these credit default swaps and derivatives, it's basically insurance on a trade. It's a way to hedge against a bad trade. And so it's basically insurance. Did you know that he said that as of like 3 years ago, that there was $700 trillion of credit default swaps?
Oh, sure. Insuring
only $70 trillion of assets?
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's like taking out a $700,000 insurance policy on your $70,000 car.
Yeah. Well, of course.
So tell me something ain't wrong. Yeah. This is all messed up.
It is. I do have a quote from Chairperson Maxine Waters from the House of Representatives side. Here we go.
My millennials, stay woke.
There you go.
in the chamber.
In the chamber, no less.
Wow. I added doing a little swerve off the road here. I added the things that you wanted to the charts, to the V for V charts.
Oh, is it updated? Oh, no, I saw those. Of course. Yeah, of course I saw it. You added the, hold on a second. I have it here. You added the transaction count and you also have unique senders, mm-hmm. which is interesting.
That unique senders needs an asterisk and a little thing at the bottom of the page that explains why the asterisk exists.
Okay.
Because clearly we can't verify that, you know, if I have, I could create a script and mimic what looks exactly like an Adam Curry boost TLV record.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So, I mean, that unique senders that's a fiction, but it's, I mean, I still consider it useful. I mean, it's fairly useful.
Well, it's kind of about what I thought, you know, it looks like currently we have an average of, I don't know, a million sats a day flowing through the system.
I think the average would be about that, but I think the median is probably a little higher. Yeah.
The median. Oh, okay. So maybe 1.5 million.
Yeah. Somewhere between 1 and 2.
It's really impressive.
It tends to go up.
Well, I mean, so now of course I obsess over this stuff. I love seeing it. I really look at the 7 day and the 30 day. Okay. Because you know, you're seeing, it actually would be handy to, I mean, I could overlay this with a million different things because there's release schedules. You know, this is certain days when podcasts come out. You know, I think Wednesday, we know pretty sure that Wednesday is probably the lowest day for boostograms, for activity. Would you say that's correct?
Looking at this. Yeah. I would think so. Yeah. That's Wednesday into Thursday morning. Yeah.
Yeah, that Wednesday to Thursday morning, that seems to be pretty low. But man, there's an economy here and there's real money flowing through this. And again, I really like that, although I appreciate you putting the dollar value next to it, which of course is all over the map. The thing that I see is that people don't care about the dollar value. I think we talked about this on the last show. I mean, when I see 12121 stats from Dreb, who wants some namespace talk, you got to up the boost there, Dreb, if you want namespace talk, a hot namespace talk. Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, so then you have Darren O.
Baller, shot caller, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
With 101010, with 101,010 sats. Just blasting it like that. You know, 25,000 sats from Dovidas, 88,888 from Fletcher. By the way, he says, hello, privates.
Did he just post that?
About 30 minutes ago. In certain
Because that's a Satoshi slam is what that is.
Oh, it's a Satoshi slam. Yeah, we forgot about that. Exactly. We have I should have had that ready. Hold on. Satoshi slam. Wait. Didn't we have, do we have a jingle for that?
Yeah, Fletcher sent it. The Satoshi Slam,
Fletcher, or whatever. Why can't I not find this? Oh, no.
Oh.
I don't have it.
Jingle Overboard.
It is a Jingle Over. It's not in my search system. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, the Satoshi Slam, he says, hi, privates. In certain alphabet communities, V2V means something entirely different than V4V. I don't even want to know. We're good. And there's Chad F with a 8008. So my point is, the economy that we're living in.
Hello, Dreb. Shot caller, 20 inch blades on the Impala.
The kids won't eat for a week. 1-2-1-2-1-2. You see what you can do? You see what you can do? I'm just saying.
He's the patron saint of podcasting 2.0.
He sure is. So we're into the numerology of this particular currency that we're using in our own ecosystem. The dollar amount is not irrelevant, but it kind of is.
And I can take it out. I can take it out of the chart.
I'm not saying it has to be taken out of the chart. I'm just saying it's beautiful to see that it doesn't matter. That everyone is, especially when it comes to boostograms and boosts, everyone is just all on board with whatever the numbers are the cool numbers. The number says something just like the boostogram says something. I love that. It's a beautiful thing. And it's the future.
Well, the unique sender thing is interesting too, because if you think about it like this, you could game that.
And change it, but
you would have to pay to do it.
Exactly. That's the beauty of it.
You don't get it for free. Which is kind of interesting.
V4VStats.com if you want to watch it. V4VStats.com there's a whole long URL, but I like V4VStats.com. That's why I registered for you, my friend.
Thank you, brother. You got anything? I got some.
I've been hogging the mic. Go ahead.
No, I hugged up with.
I lulled
everybody to sleep with the pipes of Janet Yellen.
No, I don't think I was sleeping on that. Yeah, two things I have here. One, I wanted, Noster is still, there's still some debate going back and forth, like, Noster should be connected to podcasting 2.0. Okay. I wanted to point out the main difference between what is happening on Noster with Zaps, which is all exciting. And I check out Noster all the time. I don't find the conversation particularly exciting. It seems to be a lot of PV and to the moon and this kind of stuff.
Morning. Good night.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Pura Vida. So, okay. Yeah, it's great.
What does that mean, by the way?
That I think that's something that Jack Dorsey started. And I think without Jack Dorsey, none of this would be going on. And that's kind of what led me to the discovery of the simple fact that Jack Dorsey is funding development.
Yep.
And he's doing it seemingly altruistically, which is beautiful. What we are doing with podcasting 2.0 on Value for Value is we have specifically, purposely put everyone into the value flow. When you send a zap from... what app am I using? From Nostagram to, Amethyst or Iris. The app developer gets none of that because we invented the splits. This was done specifically to get everyone involved and everybody can have a piece of this, a million and a half Satoshis that flows through the system every single day. Whether you're making a stats package, whether you're doing transcripts, whether you're hosting, you've created a WordPress plugin, you've built an app and put your blood, sweat, and tears into it. That was the idea from the onset. And Noster does not have this. So I do not believe the ecosystem can only be sustained by one billionaire who hands out, rewards and bennies to people. There has to be something in there like splits that makes it work for everybody. And I think just looking at the culture, that ship may have sailed. It may be too late for them to integrate that. Your thoughts, Dave Jones, Pod Sage.
I think you're right. I think because they built and Gigi wrote an article kind of talking about this, maybe last week, I don't remember, but whatever his latest article was, he was really decrying the fact that he's like, over here in podcasting 2.0, they have this notion of splits,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, which, and he's like, we need that in the broader Bitcoin ecosystem. We need splits to be a thing.
Yeah, because Gigi understands value for value. You know, people think, right. value for value, that's a zap.
Yeah, and he, you know, he was arguing it needs to be at the it needs to be programmatic, and not it needs to be built into the protocol. And, right. and I agree with that. There we sort of hacked it on top. I don't want to say hacked because I mean we did it a good way. I think you know we did it the right way for what it is and what we needed, but. I don't want to say that negatively, but at the same time, it really would be great to have it built programmatically into Lightning, into Bitcoin Core, even.
Oh, I like that idea.
Satoshi Slam.
There we go.
Fletcher DM'd it to me. Thanks, brother.
Oh, cool. but you know, I think that's right.
That is a genius idea. I mean, it seems like the Lightning Labs people will be too busy defending their brand name Taro.
Oh yeah, they're getting sued, aren't they?
Well, they had a. I think they've changed it to an injunction from a. It was like a restraining order, which I thought was weird. Cease and desist, I understand, but somehow they had a restraining order. It's all trademark, and you know. Trademark is a big deal. So you go and you defend your trademark and then everything has to stop until that's resolved. And I guess this company, Tari, has, you know, a similar product to Lightning Labs and Taro, but they were there earlier, trademarked it. Oops.
Yep.
I guess Roast Beef was talking too fast. I was trying to catch up to him, forgot to do some of the basic work. And you know, they don't care. Honestly, I don't see the developers of Lightning, and I don't know the C Lightning people well enough. I just don't see any. They don't care about microtransactions. We know that. We're the ones that are making that ecosystem work.
Yeah, I think the bottom line of what you're saying is that we're going to just be stuck with what we have for a while. I mean, for who knows how long into the future.
And I'm not sad about it. I mean, I think what we have works, is beautiful. Yeah. It's just. You know, it's like this, if anything, I want to point out that we actually have something really cool that is to be admired by people. Most won't give a crap about us, but that's beside the point. You know, wait until the music side project or that and more apps start to come online and the musicians come in and they see that they can do splits. And mm-hmm. they see that they can circumvent the whole archaic architecture of ASCAP, BMI, Harry Fox Agency, record labels, publishing. You can put it all right into the value block and it's transparent right down to base, of course, music composition, lyrics, down to the players. And as we know, we can have, you know, it doesn't have to be 100%. It can be 500%. Everything works out in the mix behind the scenes. It gets split up perfectly. And that's a future system. That's something that people who are in the music business will understand and will get. And I think we're unique in that. And we've built it out. We have, you know, what is it now? I think I'd like to the show that Dave Jackson and Daniel J. Lewis are doing.
Yeah, I've been listening to that. That's a good show.
They need to get with the accurate stats. Because they were talking about 1,283 feeds with value blocks, and I'm looking at 12,538. So they're not pulling from your JSON, which I know sounds like it should be on a different podcast.
That's right before the private parts.
Yeah, parts unknown, pulling my JSON.
Episode one, pulling JSON.
Otherwise, you know, and of course... Yeah, you know, I love it when Brian of London comes in and says, "That's all Hive, easy speak. What is it? Three speak. A lot of it is for sure. And love that number for that very reason, Brian.
I've got some. I think we need to talk about channels. We briefly covered it last week and then bailed out.
Hold on a second.
Did something else.
And now it's time for some hot namespace
now,
talk.
Now, to lead us into the hot namespace talk, may I make an observation?
I would love to hear an observation.
Okay.
Can you hear an observation? I guess you can.
Well, it's an observation I'm going to put into words. GitHub, the GitHub needs to be at least temporarily constrained because now it's becoming a free for all of features. So, you know, I have a lot of things I want. But when, you know, it feels to me like because I follow the GitHub, you know, and I'm just a casual user. I will reply sometimes. I don't think I've ever done a pull request. I'm just following along with the conversation and it gets very crowded with things like has guests. Okay. I understand that some people are annoyed by getting emails from people and I get them. Who want to see if you'll take a guest on the show. But, you know, I mean, I can think of a lot of things that I want in there, like includes lighter clicks, might include vape sounds. I mean, I could have a whole bunch of shit that you can put into the namespace. And what it does is it takes it. I feel it sucks energy out of the things that we should be concentrating on. Like, I don't know, cross-app comments. I'm just going to throw something simple out there. But there's other things in our now six phases that are really important, like the one you're about to bring up.
I agree.
But it's just become a free for all of everybody. Oh, I got a great idea. I've been dreaming of this for years. And no, it's annoying. That's just my observation. I have no control over the GitHub. That's all you. And I'm just throwing it out there.
I'm going to take the opposite side of the fence from you. In one specific way. Now, I agree with you that we have more important fish to fry. Yes, I totally agree. We got some important stuff that we need to do. I'm trying to wait a little bit until some of the existing development work calms down. And before we start in,
well, what development work? Everyone's trying to raise money now, as far as I can tell, which is going to suck a lot of development time out of people.
No, Captivate, just, you know.
Oh no, drop, no, like, no! Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm talking about on the app development side.
Oh, and the app. Yeah. Well, you know, Pocket Cast is looking at 2.0, and this kind of. So, you know, we found that out last week.
True.
I was trying to let there be a little bit of a. You know, a little bit of catch up to be done, you know, let people get caught up as much as they feel like they need to. And then, I mean, because we've got 20 tags, you know, we've got so much
stuff.
That's
my point. We have 20 tags, which are not supported by everybody. I mean, of course, they don't have to be.
Right.
But I'm just saying that, like, this, I don't know, it just feels like that's a distraction. And there's just, because, you know, you read the GitHub and you get I was like, oh, okay, this. And,
yeah, well,
and it gets your juices flowing about something else. And I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry, I should shut up. I made my observation. You're trying to tell me what you want to do.
No. So that's where I disagree, is that I think that it's not a distraction. It's, I like it when people throw just everything they can at the wall, because we may be, so take a tag like has guests, probably not going to be a formal tag. I mean, it's just so niche and so specific. And I think we've got other ways to handle that. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think it will end up being a tag. But at the same time, has guests may have some piece of it or some piece of reasoning within it that actually informs another tag down the road or on the other side of the proposal list that you can end up combining. And I think channels is actually a really good example of that.
Okay.
So channels, you know, is that idea that we talked about last week of grouping, you know, grouping feeds together. Well, we actually stopped working on channels in order to go build GUID. And so GUID really was born out of the channel idea. But then, you know, we just never went back to channels. That's where you could have some sort of like cross pollination of ideas to where even though one thing doesn't actually make it all the way to the finish line, it can be a critical part of some thinking on another thing. So like channels, you know, the idea is that you're going to group feeds together, and you know, what we really didn't want to do is group things or reference feeds by URL, because URLs can change. Shows move from host to host. And so, how are we going to solve this problem? Well, we came up with GUID. So the GUID is a universal ID. We've talked about it before. It's generated from a hash, a UUID5 hash of your current feed URL as it exists right now. And then you put that into your feed with the podcast colon GUID tag.
Which I have in all mine, I think. I'm supporting that. I'm supporting it.
Yep. And so now, once you have GUID, now you have a way to refer to all those GUIDs, which are universal IDs for podcasts. You got a way to refer to those GUIDs in some sort of channels file. And that's what I'm thinking about right now is, we ended up coming up with three different ways to do that, or three possibilities. We sort of came up with, I think the original proposition was using JSON, and sort of like define, you've got this channels file where it's going to list out all of the member feeds. So you may have a JSON file that lists out, you know, podcasting 2.0, No Agenda, MoFax, Curry and the Keeper, Daily Source Code. And then that would be your channel. That's the Adam Curry channel.
And how does that work for my different audiences with a lot of overlap? I mean, what is the listener experience of the channel?
So the listener experience is what, so here there's like a two-way street. I'm glad you asked this, because I'd forgotten this aspect. It's a two-way street. So the feed. So you're going to have a channel file that references Podcasting 2.0, No Agenda, MoFax, Curry and the Keeper, Daily Source Code. Each one of those five feeds will also have a channel tag in it that links back to the channel file.
Yeah.
So it links to the URL of the channel file. So now if I'm listening to MoFax, my podcast app can say, can see there's a channel file, go out and get it, and also say, in some way, it can know how it presents this to the user, you know, is up to whatever app. But they can also inform the user that, hey, this feed you're listening to is also part of a channel with these other feeds in it.
Okay.
It's like a discovery, a really good discovery mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause if you've subscribed to one, you did it for a reason. You may want to subscribe to something else related to this. So at least, you know, at least they're sort of grouped in a way that the podcast app can discover.
So my question, so it's not something I'm interested in, honestly. I don't know why. I'm not trying to be controversial. What is the demand for this? Or is it something we think there's demand for and we want to create the demand? I'm just trying to understand where the demand for this particular feature comes from.
So it's necessary for a few reasons. I mean, necessary is, you know, a loosey-goosey word. Well, let me answer Nathan's question first real quick. He said, doesn't the podcast author proposal replace the need for channels? No, because you can group channel, you could imagine a grouping of shows that really don't have any connection to the publisher at all. It could be a grouping of shows of like, of all of Amazon's originals, and they're going to perhaps have different publishers. And so they may not even reference Amazon necessarily in the publisher tag. So that you can envision scenarios where there's still groupings beyond publishers. So what you said, the one perfect use case off the top would be a musician. Let's just say a tone wrecker. He's got five albums. And each album is a feed, each episode is a track, So now he needs to go this one level up and say, okay, I need some way to do, to show like my entire catalog. And so at that level, you could think of channel as catalog for this particular.
Thank you for answering musician. My question. You answered my okay. question perfectly. It's appropriate for music. That's where the demand is coming from.
I would say that's probably the most straightforward use case for it. And then all the other ones, all the other use cases you can think of, you can kind of get for free.
Yeah. Okay. So yes. All right. I'm with that. I mean, I would call it discography, but I understand it doesn't, okay. really, doesn't okay. really matter what you call it as long as it has that function. So yeah, that makes sense. And I can see that being built in.
Well, so then, you know, the question becomes, how do you build this channel file? It can, you know, is it going to be, because there's really, I can think of three, yeah, I can think of three good solutions, and I honestly don't know which one is best. You can have you can have JSON. It's fine. It's got some, maybe it's got broad support. It's fairly easy to
we're already publishing things in JSON, such as, chapters.
Right. You've got RSS.
I can't believe I'm shilling for JSON here.
What's wrong with JSON
me?
Shield.
What's wrong with me?
you've got RSS. I mean, just RSS itself. It's sort of a little outside the use case of RSS, but you could still use it. But to me, the biggest two are JSON and OPML.
And I would vote against OPML, even though I love OPML. I live in OPML. OPML keeps my life and my life together. The only reason is I saw what happened with OPML. OPML is a very rich standard, and all it's ever used for is collecting podcasts.
What it would do
in here. in a subscription list. So now to explain that this is a channel, I think, is more complicated than it has to be. Whereas this is only going to be done by hosts anyway. They have to go. I don't think a lot of hosts spin up OPML output, and JSON is probably something they're already familiar with.
Good point. That's a good point.
Even though I love OPML, and OPML in the apps today is a subscription list. It's not a channel. I know the difference is a small nuance, but I'm just a stupid user. So, you know, that's how I look at it. That's the voice I'm bringing.
It's a good point. I mean, it's a good point because you have, so on the hosting side, you would have probably a more aptitude with JSON. Mm-hmm. On the app side, you're going to have probably, you know, plenty of experience with JSON. They also mostly know how to speak OPML because they use it for import export lists. So they really could speak either one.
Right. But what is the user is not publishing the channel. Publisher, the creator is publishing the channel. Yeah, but they consume it, and it's like, you know, it should just surface in the app and it says, oh, here's the channel that this album or this artist or whatever belongs to. And I think for the user, it's just going to be a list or whatever. It's not going to matter if it's OPML or JSON.
So the geeky part of me really wants...
Yes, this is what I'm here to thrash.
Yes. the geeky part of me really wants to go OPML because you can reuse the podcast namespace in the OPML because it's just XML namespace, and you sort of get this big win for free. But that's geek move.
Explain it to me. I'm interested. Explain it again. What do you get for free if you do it that way with OPML?
Well, so we've got the podcast namespace, which is in RSS, but it's really just, it's a misnomer that it's an RSS namespace. It's an XML namespace. So because it's just an XML namespace, we could also use the podcast namespace in the OPML file. You basically get to apply your namespace to the feed and the channel.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Okay.
Whereas JSON doesn't have a defined schema. Like you don't, there are namespaces for, is there namespaces for JSON?
What's so crazy
JSON
is
LD, I think.
Throughout this whole thing, I've been trying to find the channels discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't find it. All I've got is, like all kinds of
issue.
I can't, in GitHub, can I just search? I mean, I'm in the podcast index, podcast namespace, discussions, and then.
Go to issues.
Oh, it's an issue.
Yeah.
Well, it is now.
It is. Podcast proposal, podcast channel, a group of podcasts.
Oh, it's an issue. Okay. I'm sorry.
It's issue 240. That will help you.
Okay.
Warning, it's a very long discussion. Very long.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. That's okay. I see. Podcast warning. Oh, we got all kinds.
There's been action on this within the last 2 days. Kevin from Buzzsprout opened a new issue for Podroll.
Oh yeah, here we go.
Okay, yeah. So this is a.
Isn't that the same? So isn't that basically the same thing? No,
he might
not.
Be trying. Yeah. Yeah, he might be taking a look. He might be taking a crack at simplifying this. I haven't read through this yet, so I'll have to read through it. Okay. Well, that may be. Yeah, I'll have to read through this before we continue. But that's where we left. That's where we left the channel discussion. And I'm open to whatever, you know. I mean, OPML. I mean, the point about JSON being easy to produce and consume both.
And that's just me saying it.
That's a good one.
I mean, I can read both, and I know I can probably write both. I understand both. It's just I'm just going for what's simple to get done here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
asking the host to produce OPML, that would probably be the biggest struggle.
Yeah, because they, I'm sure they already have JSON writers or, you know, whatever you call it. And I still can't find channel. I see all kinds of stuff, but.
Oh, you can't. It's 240. Here, I'll send you a link.
Right, but how do I get to? I have to go through the numbers here to get to 240. I see.
Well, you go just tag a 240 on the end of the URL. You'll get there.
No, that sounds obvious. 240. Got the group of podcasts. Okay, got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got it. Thank you. Okay, I see what we're doing here. Oh yes, warning. That is a very long. Everyone's so creative. Wow. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so that's what I mean. That's my whole point is, okay, we have how many, like 70 comments. No cross-app comments.
Well, we're still working through that. We've got an HTTP2 glitch.
Oh,
to work through.
Oh, what? HTTP2 glitch? What is this?
Well, the podcast comments stopped loading on the site.
Oh.
And
this is no bueno.
Yeah, and so Guilherme said that he thinks that it's this an issue with the translation between HTTP2 as it goes through the reverse proxy at Cloudflare and comes down to the browser.
What is HTTP2? I've never even heard of this.
Yeah, so there, you know, there's HTTP 1.1.
Yes. Oh, yes. Of course. Yeah.
Well, 1.0 was the old school, and then 1.1, which brought like Keep Alive and some improvements. And then
okay.
So then you got a few years ago, it was HTTP/2 came out, which sort of really re-engineered the way that connections are handled. So instead of opening up a separate connection for every resource, mm-hmm. like page, JavaScript, style sheet, mm-hmm. you know, every one of those being a separate TCP connection, you ended up with connection pooling.
Oh.
Yeah, so you have one connection and then the server would send all of its resources. Yeah.
Oh, hold on.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Taking a break from the ski slopes. Sam Sethi checks in with 101010. 101,010 sats. We got a new number here. What is this? That's some binary for something, right?
Don't hit a tree, Sam. Pay attention to what you're doing.
I got to see what that is.
You know, that's how Bono does.
He's, yes. Bono. No, Bono.
Bono.
Bono. Bono.
Yeah.
Bono from Cher, and
Sonny Bono.
Yes, I want to use the new channel tag to be a producer page showing all the other podcasts from that producer. It's great for discovery. If I listen to one podcast from a producer, I can now see all their other podcasts. This is similar to Apple Channels. Ah, so this is a genesis, perhaps. Apple Channels. Yes. Oh, yes. Okay.
That was the initial idea.
Ah,
and then
okay.
People like Alex were like, you know, immediately saw it for what it could be, which was things like, you know, grouping the discographies and stuff like that, like you said.
Sure.
So we get a twofer.
I like it. So what is this number? Is binary 10101? Is that 42? What is that binary for?
Oh, is that did he actually mean that to be a signal?
It's 42. Yeah. Which of course is the most important number in the universe. Decimal 42. Decimal 42. Yes.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Sweet.
There you go. So it's a, what do we call it? Level 42 boost. There you go.
That's right. It's the universe boost.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Okay. Well, this is, well, it's fascinating. I love it all. And if, you know, so there's Sam Sethi. He is a podcast listening experience creator, and he wants this.
I think when we jump back into talking about the next, when we get back into this, I think we should start with channels. Like, it's kind of where I would like to start.
So it was started by Tom Rossi of Buzzsprout fame. One of Apple's features is the grouping from April 23rd, 2021.
Yes.
One of, it's just the OG. It's good to look at these things. One of Apple's features is the grouping of podcasts into a channel. I kind of like this idea and wonder if we could incorporate a way to do this within the RSS feed. Perhaps we could provide a podcast channel tag that uniquely identifies the channel, or a related podcast tag that points to a JSON of all the related RSS feeds. So there's a guy who wants it, who's a hosting provider, and is already signaling JSON.
Which makes perfect sense.
And then, look at this suck up. Dave Jones comes in. You beat me to this, Tom. This is absolutely a good idea. What are you, look at this, man.
What were you doing the voice for me for?
That's what it sounds like. It jumps up. You beat me to this, Tom.
Wow.
And then Daniel J. Lewis immediately, isn't this what the recommendation tag is supposed to support? And we're off to the races.
That's all it takes.
That's one, all it takes.
Yeah, one suck up and one name change.
I'm just busting your balls, brother. I love it. I love it. I cannot believe, I've said this many times, the amount of talent that is in this group, Podcasting 2.0, that is unorganized, we're disorganized, is only here because we want to do cool things with podcasting. I believe that we have a common denominator, which is we all could be in the value flow. You could not collect this amount of talent. You could not afford this amount of talent if you had $100 million. You could not do it. And I love it.
Awesome.
And $50 million would be your salary alone.
Yeah.
It's what you deserve. Yeah. In my book, that's what you deserve. Yes, sir.
$50 million to say, I love you, Tom.
Busting your balls, man.
Yeah, this is a good $50 million Boy Friday. Okay.
Boy Friday.
Wait, we do need, you know, like I did build the GUID resolver this week.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. This is, I even teased that in the open. I'm so excited about your GUID resolver.
It is live. We don't need to talk about it yet, though.
Oh, I actually had it on my list to talk about it.
Well, I don't want people using it because the data is not reliable. Mm-hmm. It's this purely like alpha.
What are the downs? So the idea is you can just throw your podcast GUID at this thing, which would be something anybody could set up, I guess, any app hosting company, et cetera. And it spits back, your podcast.
Right.
That's the idea. So it's universal and it kind of becomes the ISBN of podcasts. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. And it's meant to be this particular software is meant to be super fast. It just all it you
like give it DNS. A, give it's like DNS. It's like DNS.
Yeah. But
Oh, I need to open an issue. Why don't we just use DNS for this?
Why did we call it good? Why do we call it DNS?
Why do we call it PNS? Okay.
So it could be the big question, and this is what Christopher Isin. See, I'm talking about it, and I don't want to talk about it.
I'm sorry. Well, we can switch. We can switch to something else. You want to?
No, I'm ten. We're getting late in the game. We probably need to thank people. But I think I'm going to wait and talk about GUID once I'm happy and that it's stable and giving out good data. Let's do that.
Okay. And it won't be next week. We have no board meeting next week. Warning.
Oh yeah, that's right.
They're like, oh man.
Hey, you're boned.
Aren't you taking the day? Aren't you going somewhere with your family? Are you taking the day off?
Oh yeah, that's right. I don't know.
I know. You know, yes. It's your family. It's like, I know. It's like, you know, annoying. I know, family.
Yeah. Yes. We are. We're going out of town for a couple of days.
Oh, nice. Well, I'm also out of town. So everyone's out of town. So there will be no board meeting. The board meeting will be locked.
I will definitely have the GUID resolver stable by 2 weeks from now.
Okay. All right.
That is plenty of time.
Yes. Well, yeah, let's thank some people. This is value for value if you want to learn more about that. And by the way, I want to thank James Cridlin for appropriately plugging valueforvalue.info. But, mm-hmm. that's an overview of what we're talking about here and how it works. You can support the show. You support the entire project. You keep the servers running. You keep us in the Dr. Pepper, which is about all we can afford. That's what I'm drinking right here. And you can do that by going to podcastindex.org. Scroll down to the bottom. A couple ways to support us. Let me check the Tally coin while we're at it, because people wanted to send us a on-chain Bitcoin. Let's see if anyone's done it today. Dreb, do not do it. Do not do it.
Press that key.
Don't press that button, Dreb. Good. Nothing there. Of course, you can also support us with your fiat fund coupons. You can do that through PayPal. That's the red donate button there at the bottom. But what we really love is you get a modern podcast app, drop the legacy, go to podcastapps.com, select any of them that do value, and boost us. And that is exactly what Mike Neumann did. Mike Neumann.
Baller! Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
101010. Channels could be a genre like Sirius XM's Classic Rewind, etc. Channel talk is hot. Yeah. 101010 is a binary baller. Ah, there we go. Okay, binary baller. Thank you so much, Mike. We just thank Sam for his binary baller boost. Tone Wrecker, 3333. Sending a boost so I can sit down again after being made an example of in front of class during discussion with music feeds. then we have Sir Brian of London, 31,948 sats, a triple Israeli boost. Putin don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. Shabbat shalom from Israel. All right, Shabbat shalom, Brian of London. Thank you. And that must be coming from Hive. That's where he sends.
That's the Hive. Rube Goldberg machine.
the Hive reverse Rube Goldberg machine. 6969 from Hey Citizen. Will podcasting 2.0 artists have an easy way to report their earnings to Uncle Sam or Uncle Trudeau? It's actually not that hard.
Yes, I can tell you. I had this on my list to talk about what to do, because Alex talked about it this week. On the podcast index.social, it's really not hard. So what I do is I go into ThunderHub and just export everything for the year. There's basically six files you get, and they're split up into on chain and Lightning. So you have chain fees, on chain receives, on chain sends. So those are your three reports from that. They all come out in a CSV file, so you can open them in Excel. Then you have, on the Lightning side, you have forwards, which are the fees you get for forwarding Lightning payments. You get payments that you've made, which is like a send. And you get invoices, which is payments you've received. So I just export all those out. I take and I ditch the chain send out of it. Because 99% of the time, that is just a channel opener
or close.
Mm-hmm. And so then I just sum all this stuff together. I take all the invoices, everything, all the invoices as a positive, as income, everything out of payments as an expense, or as, you know, reducing income, the forwards is income, and the sent and the fees, excuse me, the received and the fees, you just take those accordingly. So you basically just, you can take this thing and just stick it in a huge spreadsheet and just sum it all when you get it. And it exports all the fiat values, how much it was worth that day. So for every transaction, it's got the dollar amount of what it was worth that day. So I do that and send it to our accountant. It sounds complicated to explain, but if you see it, it's just really not that hard.
No, the best thing is you do it. This is what I love about it.
Thank
you, brother. Yes. Thank you so much. I'm so happy you do that.
By the way, it's worth noting, we did have to, you know, we filed our tax return, $750 for the tax prep fee.
So. No, it's actually more, because I had to ask our law firm if we had correctly filed and closed everything in the state of Washington.
Did they charge you an hour for
$368, brother? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
$1,000 for tax prep.
There you Ouch. Go. All right.
Okay, well, now we know.
8888 from Fletcher. Thank you, brother. Chad F. 8008. He says, it's a boobstagram. Yeah, we got you. There's Dreb Scott with the 1212212. We need a name for that kind of boost. That was his boosting bigger for more namespace talk. And you got it. Another,
yeah, yeah, you got it.
Another boobstagram from Chad F. We got, there was a Dreb Scott 1212121. Darren O. We gave him a big baller for the 101-0100. Another big payment. Y'all are awesome. Play the big baller jingle to annoy Sir Bemrose, please. Go podcast.
Go podcasting!
I guess he hates it. Oh, wow. 111 sats from some quack. Thank you. Dovidas, 25,000. We appreciate that. Boar Log with 10,000. There's the Fletcher, Satoshi Slam with 88,888. Booberry with 69,69. Wowie Zowie, I want a smut cast. Okay. Eric PP, 33,333. Satoshis bigger than Fed coin, Fed Now coin. We've got to talk about that. Yeah. Hey, hopefully we'll be able to
Fed
use
now.
Yeah. Fed Now for your boostergrams. I can see Cridlin getting ready. Dreb Scott, 12121. Well, that was his test, right? We got boost in the pre-boost. Then we have 6969 from Hey Citizen. Raise his hand live, ready to get lit. This is just before we started. We got, let's see, Pfeiffer with Striper Boost, 7777. Howdy, Adam and Dave. Thank you for your courage. P.S. If Dave likes the green sky, or green sky.
Green sky, bluegrass.
I guess we have a show on the No Agenda stream Sunday mornings for that. Yo.
Oh.
Is it some kind of music, maybe? I'm not sure.
Green sky, bluegrass is a.
Oh, there you go. Green sky, blue. Yeah, there you go. All right. That's what we were boosted and pre-boosted. Thank you all so much, Dave. I'm sure you have many more that we can thank.
We have one donation through PayPal.
That's one too many, really. I mean, for the conversion, but we appreciate it.
$20 from Curtis Peterson. Thank you, Curtis.
Thank you, Curtis. Appreciate that. Much appreciated. Yeah.
No note. Curtis did not leave a note. We got 10101 from C-Dubs through Podcast Index website. And he just has a little ASCII emoji. He just says, yay.
Did anyone ever look at the Get Albee multiple approval budget flow process that we talked about on the last show?
If they did, they did not tell me.
Okay.
So I do not know.
I'm just raising my hand again. That's kind of confusing for new people. And it kind of ignores the splits often.
Steve Webb, the OG Godcaster, 7777 Striper Boost. He says, hi, guys. Just checking in from Left Ring Media Central. Go podcasting.
And, his daily Bible is very often in the Fountain Top 10.
Go podcasting!
Top of the charts.
Yeah, good to see it. I love it.
Steve Webb back again, 7777. He says, I know the guy who brought the Striper guys to the Lord. As far as I know, he's still in contact with Michael Sweet. I'll see if I can let him know about the Striper boost.
All right.
That'd be funny.
Hey, wouldn't it be great to get Striper on Value for Value? No. Just saying.
Man, if they could pull that off, that would be hilarious.
Yeah, it would be the best. We should get Striper, Lillian Axe. Who else can we rope into this?
You could get Lillian Axe on there. You can evangelize Lillian Axe.
I can try. I mean, they got real label deals, but if they can get outside of their label deal, yeah, why not?
Macintosh 2100 Sats, he says, Dave, Cypress did the bank haircut. Don't remember the details, but it was a fail. A fail in situation and accounts had a percentage removed to save the quote system.
Oh yeah, that's a bail in.
That's a bail in. Okay, yeah.
I remember that. We had No Agenda Stream. No Agenda had Mr. Oil. And Mr. Oil was a huge supporter of the podcast. And he had at some point a Bitcoin mining pool set up, and he was just going. But he taught me a lot about pipelines, and then all of a sudden Mr. Oil was like freaking out. Like, what's going on? He's a Russian, I think. And I'm in Cyprus. They're stealing our money. The bank is stealing our money. And, you know, they literally went there personally to try and get their money out in cash out of the Cyprus bank. And they did not get all of it. It was a bail-in, and they lost, I think, a sufficient amount of money. And I haven't really heard from Mr. Oil since.
Youch. You lost an oligarch.
I think so.
Mere Mortals Podcast 2222, the Row of Ducks through Fountain, he says, fun story on Perth Mint. I used to own shares in them as some exposure to gold. One day in 2019, I woke up and found that they had literally taken away one share of the 100 I owned. Oh. Called up the ASX, and they were extremely shaky on whether it was legal to do that. Some BS about administration rollback, blah, blah.
Wow.
They are dodgy through and through.
Wow.
There you go.
Row of ducks
on the ground report from down under.
Wow. So those guys have been scammers all along. Mm-hmm. Not just diluting the gold.
Let's see. We got 10,000 stats from Dave Jackson, the School of Podcasting, says, love the stats page. Check out the newly rebranded futureofpodcasting.net.
Yes.
With myself and Daniel J. Lewis.
I like that show a lot. Yeah, it's a great show. I like that show a lot. Yeah.
Mike Dell, getting in on the Striper action, 7777 through Podverse. He says, leaving Vegas boost, listening at the airport.
boost.
Gene Everett, 3333 through Fountain. He says, boost.
Boost.
There you go.
Nomadic Coder, 5555 through Podverse. He says, I listen to podcasts with Shock's bone conducting headset. In December, I developed headaches from my jaw that lasted 3 months. I couldn't figure out why until you started talking about pod speeding. I realized it may have been caused by listening at 1.5x. Ah. So far, no problems when I listen at 1x. Adam, you saved my life.
Bombshell. Another life saved or created. All right.
Gene Bean. Well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we have cured him from PUD, the pod speeding use disorder.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Now he's just a puh. It's not a disorder anymore. Puh. Just a podcast user. Gene Bean, 1337, lead boost through Castomatic. He says, regarding the chat on the tag for channels, as a listener, I like the idea of making it easier to find other shows from a network whose podcasts I'm already listening to. This proposal sounds like a way that could easily happen in-app instead of going out of the podcast app, going back to the website, and then back to the podcast app.
Wait. You got to fly that by me again.
No, he's saying he likes the idea because you can pull it keeps you in the flow.
Ah.
Because the podcast app can bring those recommendations to you instead of you having to go find them.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
Khalil. 10,000 sats through Fountain says, as a musician myself, all that talk about music podcasts got me all hot and bothered. I might have to build one of those music apps so I can sit still again. Go podcasting.
How you doing, Booster?
Go podcasting!
All right.
Sats.
Khalil's a good UI guy, so that would be a good looking app, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can use that for sure.
Mere Mortals Podcast, Kyron back again, 2222 through Fountain. He says, I held out as long as I could. Where can I get the bootleg copy of this infamous DJ set that I've heard only contains non-copyrighted music?
Well,
you can't. It's not available.
It's just not available for anyone.
It's just not. Nope. Aerostatica, 2376. He says, I own V4VPlayer.com. I'd be happy to donate it to podcastindex.org.
Um, um, um I would hold on to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, wait for.
We don't really have a good use for it right now. Really.
No, maybe V for Vplaya.
Yeah, there you go.
V for Vplaya.com, but hold on to it, man. Someone will want that. Someone will want that.
Aristatica again, 12,000 sets through Fountain. Nice. He says 200 sets a minute equals 12,000 sets an hour. Equals about $2 on 312.23. That's fair for an hour of entertainment.
Well, that's my standard, and then boost of this. I've been boosting less, and I'm trying to not boost all the shows all the time because I'm sick of hearing myself in the boostagram segments.
Yeah, yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. You know, it's just
I'm sick
like
of hearing you too.
I deserve that.
Yeah,
I deserve that. Well, your wish is granted. Everyone's poor now. I'm not boosting anymore. No more beer at Podcast Movement Contagion.
Joel W. Satchel or Richards through Fountain. No note. Clark. I'm glad he didn't stick a note down in his Satchel or Richards because then I'd have to dig it out.
No, you don't want to really dig do that. No.
Clarkian 25,000 sass. He says, new episode of GG No Read D&D podcast should have dropped this past week. All nerds, please support. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Thanks, brother.
Nicholas B58, 21,000 sats. He says, nice. Boosted from Fountain Premium. Let's effing go podcasting.
No, nice.
Boost. Go podcasting.
Yeah. We support. We want you to support the podcast apps. If you're doing premium, then I think Fountain takes away your Fountain fee, right? You don't have to. Yeah, that's a great way to do it. By the way, I think it's great.
Oh, Nicholas B58 is back again. Where he says another one just for fun. Well, thank you. 21,000 sats.
Woo! Thanks.
Boost. Chad F 31415 Podverse. He says Pi Day donation.
Oh, beautiful.
Cole McCormick, 3333 through Fountain. He says, you guys should look into the Ordinals Protocol more. I see alignment with Podcasting 2.0. The ability to transcribe a Satoshi with media feels super important.
You know, I'm not so sure it's super important. Yeah, it's very expensive.
Cole Lamona, through 20,000 sats at us. He says, great show. Love you guys. Sir Libra.
Wow, man. People throwing big bunches of sats at us. There's
more big bunches coming. Kevin Bay, 70,000 sats through Fountain.
Holy
he says,
crap.
Thanks for reopening a channel to me. Here's your kickback. Go podcasting.
Oh, that's nice.
Go podcasting!
We didn't have to do that. No, we're happy to open channels to anyone who needs it. Just try not to get zaps through it, which I think he actually opened 250K sats to us because he got kicked off during the Zappapalooza.
The zappening.
And so I opened 500,000 back to him. But that's fine. But anyway, thank you very much. But you don't have to do that. That's why we keep all sats that come in do not leave the podcast index node. And we use it for routing at cheap rates. Best price.
Yeah, it's like a bail-in.
It's like,
it's like a bail-in. Everybody boost the show so that we can afford the fees to open channels to everybody else.
It's a bail-in. Yeah. Boosting is a bail-in. I love it. Good one.
Borlog, 80,000 sats through Podverse. He says, all your hard work is much appreciated. All I can say to both of you is thank you again for this project. Well, you're welcome very much.
There's lots of people working on it, man. But thank you.
Yeah, lots of people. Lyceum, 1776. He says, thanks for the book tip on the Fed. Liberty Boost of 1776. Have you read books by Jean-Baptiste Say? The Best Premises, Martin Landeskog. No, I have not.
No, I have not either. So much to read.
So much.
It's hard. I've actually gone to some audiobooks while driving in the car, you know, supplanting podcasting just so I can get a book in.
I've not read Jean-Baptiste Say, but I have read Frederick Bastiat. And to me, that's...
Classic.
If nobody has read if you haven't read The Law, you must read The Law. Mm-hmm. It is the moral substrate for everything that thought about government to me. It's that important.
Oh, okay. The Law. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. Comic strip blogger, The Delimiter, 33015 through Fountain. He says, Delectable Dave and Advancing Adam, your awe-inspiring endeavors are a sleeping giant. Patiently awaiting the implosion of a debased media. thankful podcasting Power Rangers of Gitmo Nation are enabled by your work to spread infosainment across the realm, including go-getter Gregory Foreman with the AI.cooking show, which documents alleged artificial intelligence as it is used to hypnotize humanity. Yo, CSB.
Boost! Podcasting Power Rangers. I like that.
That's a show title.
Yes, alliteration is everything in my book. Thanks, Comicster Blogger. And he boosts every single show I do. I mean, we should have the Comicster Blogger channel. All the shows the Comicster Blogger boosts.
Yeah, that's a great channel.
Is that a valid use for a channel? Can we do that?
100%. Fire.
You did it. You did it. I had it queued up too. Fire.
Monthly's got Terry Keller, $5. Jeffrey Rutherford, $5. Chris Cowan, $5. Jeremy Cavanaugh, $10. Derek J. Visker, my favorite name, $21. Paul Saltzman, $22.22. David Norman, $25. Damon Kasajak, $15. And Jeremy Gerds, $5. That's our group.
Thank you very much, monthlies. Thank you, boosters. Thank you, PayPalers. Everybody, you know, I have a bad feeling about Dreb because you know he's just going to do some tally. I'm going to make sure. No, he didn't do a tally coin all of a sudden.
He promised he would.
No, he promised. Please don't, because I'm going to close it now. We won't see it if you do it. Thank you all so much. It's really appreciated, and it keeps us going. It really does. I'm just going to say, I would love to upgrade some of our hardware, if only for the issue that we've seen over the past week, which is a large queue backed up because of the huge usage of Podping. And here's what happened for me. Twice, actually, it happened. It happened with Curry and the Keeper. But it's a little more pronounced when it happens to No Agenda. So on Sunday, was it Sunday? What's today? No, on Thursday, yesterday, produced No Agenda. Now, by request, I send out the tweet and the toot, and then I grab the URL of the toot on No Agenda Social and use that as the social interact root post, which makes sense. And, you know, I think people are very smart to say, hey, why don't you do it here? Why do you create a new post? There's two things now. And so I did that, and I pinged the pod ping, and then it just wasn't updating. And what you get then is people have seen the toot or the tweet and they want to get it in their app, and then they get mad at me. They're so spoiled by the, you know, 90 second update. They're like,
yeah,
it's not, you didn't upload it to Fountain. You didn't upload it to Podverse. It's not working on Cast-O-Matic. And it's just like, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do. And it's like 11, 12, 13 minutes. And like, so I hit the pod ping again. I see it come through. I'm like, it's coming through. But there was just a backup. We had like 900 shows in the queue because of something Buzzsprout was doing. I mean, which is valid. I don't know what they were doing, but it doesn't matter. We just had a backup, massive.
This will. It's not worth focusing on because this will be fixed without throwing hardware.
Oh, okay. I am trying to get you bigger hardware. I mean, what an alley-oop, and fumbles the ball. What do you call it in basketball?
A fight. Good one. You really nailed that.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A three-pointer touchdown. Yes, exactly.
So we don't need to throw hardware at it?
I'm good. Okay. My desire for bigger hardware does not override my desire for small budgets.
Okay, so I'm good on that. But yes. You'll let us know when we need bigger hardware.
You will know. You will absolutely know.
Does that mean it'll be too late when I know because everything's crashing?
No, that wasn't threatening. You'll know. That was informative. You'll like, know.
You yeah. will know.
Yeah, you'll know when you get the emails.
All right, man. What else? Anything else before we close the door on this one?
No, I'm good. We'll talk about Good Resolver once it's awesome in a couple of weeks. And other than that, Yeah, and I'm good. I'm out of here for now.
All right, brother. I hope you feel better.
Yeah, thanks.
Sucks. So, how's your daughter? Is she okay? Is she? She.
Oh yeah, she's fine.
Oh, she's fine. And now you got it. Okay, of course. Yeah. That's typical. All right, man. Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right, me too.
Okay, and of course, chat room. Thank you very much for being here. The board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. We return in 14 days from now for Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Satoshi Slam!